read in 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse 19. That's where we're going to start reading tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. Now, anytime that you look at or you read from Timothy, I think that we are aware of the fact that Timothy was a young preacher, and that the Apostle Paul was his spiritual father, who encouraged him, challenged him, and the Lord used the Apostle Paul to prod him along. Aren't you thankful for people that God brings into our lives, different ones that encourage us to come up higher, to get closer to the Lord? And that's really what Apostle Paul is talking about here in these verses, beginning with verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. This is 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal: the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Amen. Now, the Apostle Paul is describing a personal responsibility that Timothy had. I think that most of us are aware that when you come to the Lord and you're born again, washed in the blood, that you are made righteous before the Lord. You're cleansed, and what a wonderful cleansing it is to be set free from sin and washed in the blood of the Lamb. It's a wonderful thing, and only Jesus can do that. Yeah, you can't just improve yourself enough by decisions to try to do better, but you can come to the Lord, and He can cleanse you. He can cleanse your son and my son, and it doesn't matter what their hang-ups have been or what their past has been. If they come humbly before the Lord, then they will be clean and just as cleansed and washed as anyone, because of the blood of Jesus. Praise God for His cleansing power. And but then there's another aspect of this cleansing work that I want to look at for a few minutes here tonight. And the reason I do is because I think I mentioned that last week while we were at the meeting out there that there was a message on the pure in heart. And even Joanna made mention of that Sunday night. And I think it was a powerful and important truth. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. They shall see God. Purity always precedes power. Purity always precedes power. So if you feel like I need more of the power of God in my life, then I think that one of the important steps that we can take is we need to allow the Lord to cleanse us. We need to allow a sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit be done in our life to cleanse us, to wash us. And we know that we were cleansed when we were saved and we were washed in the blood of the Lamb. But there's an ongoing process that continues. There needs to be a work of sanctification, and then the Apostle Paul described the fact that we are to die daily, that we're to have this continuing work of sanctification in our life, a continuing work of purifying in our life. And there's a lot of verses in the Word of God that back up this important truth. If you want more of God's blessing, God's power in your life, then allow Him to lead you into a life of cleansing and purity and holiness before the Lord. And when you do, then you can expect God's blessing. The pure in heart, they shall see God. There's revelation for those who are pure in heart. There is to see the hand of God at work, to see His power demonstrated in your life. If you really want that, then as you come to the Lord, you're asking Him, Lord, I'm thankful that You have cleansed me and saved me. But Lord, I also want this process to continue of You purging and cleansing all of these things in my life that are not pleasing in Your sight. Amen. A lot of verses, and I'll run through a few of these here tonight, that verify or, you know, give credibility to this whole idea of purity always precedes power. Purity always precedes power. In Psalm 24 and verse 3, who shall ascend under the hill of God, or who shall stand in His holy place? It's talking about Mount Zion. It's talking about a place of worship, that you ascend under that hill of God. It's an uphill. You're moving upward. You remember the song that we have sung in years past about climbing higher. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. I'm always moving upward. I'm always in this ascent toward the things of God. I think we all know it's a lot easier to turn around and go back down the hill. That's the path of least resistance. Anybody can do that. But it takes a great deal of effort to pursue the things of God, to allow God to work in your life and to press into that. Who shall ascend into the hill of God? Who shall stand in His holy place? Verse number 4, the next verse, Psalm 24. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. And you can see that topic is pretty well covered there by the writer in Psalm 24, that you're to have a clean hands, or your activities, your actions need to be purged and purified. A pure heart, your motives, your heart needs to be right before the Lord. And then don't lift up your head unto vanity or to worthlessness, but instead pursue the things that are really important in life, the things of God. And then the last thing that he mentions there is your speech. Don't take an oath. Don't allow yourself to swear deceitfully, but be a person of the truth. Be a man of truth, a woman of truth. And so you can see that there's a description here of what we need to do. If you're going to ascend into the hill of the Lord, then you've got to purge yourself, your speech, your actions, your activities, even your motives. All of these things need to be purged before the presence of the Lord. Then what's the promise? Verse 5. Psalm 24, verse 5. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord. Amen. That person shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. So what does it mean? It means that as you are pressing on the upward way to get closer to God, to lay aside every weight and every sin that so easily besets you, you lay all those things aside, because our life is the Christian experience is an ongoing process of always striving to get closer to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And the promise is clean hands, pure heart, sanctifying your tongue, your motives, your heart. And as a result of that cleansing work of God's Spirit and His Word, then you'll have the blessing of the Lord. You'll have God's favor upon your life. And so, purity precedes power. Purity precedes the blessing and the favor of God in your life. And so we all have a responsibility. There are some that take this whole idea of our righteousness is not, you know, we know that the Bible says our righteousness is as filthy rags. And so I understand that we stand before the Lord cleansed and washed in the blood of the Lamb. But then there are all these verses that challenge us. Be holy, for I am holy. What is God saying when he's talking to us about our response to Him? that we are to recognize that we have a responsibility before the Lord to our own personal pursuit of the things of God. All of us do. Amen. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3. Every man that hath this hope, and it's talking about the hope of the rapture, the coming of the Lord. Every man that has this hope lying within him, he does, what does he do? He purifieth himself. So as you look for the coming of the Lord, then you purify yourself and you make steps to ascend unto that holy hill. You're always pressing on to get closer to the Lord. And so much more as you see the coming of the Lord, you are challenged from God's word, purify yourself. So there's also a personal responsibility that we have. This is 2 Corinthians 7:1. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. What do? We let us cleanse ourselves. We have a responsibility as well before the Lord. God's given us the right to make choices. God doesn't just, once we get saved, He don't just push us into a certain mode and say, okay, now you're a Christian and you're going to be like little robots, always doing the right thing. No, we live out the days of our life, and every day you have choices to make. And if you're not careful, you can make bad choices that are going to lead you away from God and away from that relationship with the Lord. If you want more power, more of God's favor and God's blessing in your life, then lay aside the weights and the sins. Get rid of these things you're entangled in as far as the world or the love of the world, the love for the things of the world, and allow yourself to pursue God and to cleanse yourself from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, follow peace with all men, and holiness. Follow peace, be in right relationship with men, and holiness, be in right relationship with God. Amen. To pursue that. Pursue a right relationship with mankind and with the Lord. Perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Purity will always precede power. It will always precede God's blessing. It will always precede the favor of God upon your life. Now, that doesn't mean that we earn it, that we're earning any of these blessings. It just simply means that God blesses you and honors every effort that you make to draw closer to God. Amen. The more time you spend with the Lord, the more time you spend in the Word of God, these blessings of the power of God precede the purity, the work, the sanctifying work of God in our lives. You'll see this illustrated in the New Testament. Whenever Jesus went into the temple and he saw that they were money changers were set up there and that they had turned the place of worship and prayer into a money making marketplace. The response of the Lord is recorded there in all of the Gospels. We know that he went in and he literally, physically drove them out of the house of the Lord. And he said, you have made this place, my house should be called the house of prayer, but you've made it into a den of thieves. You've caused it to be a place of merchandise, and it was never intended to be that. It's to be the house of the Lord, a place where God is honored and where God works and moves. He drove them out, and this is often called the cleansing of the temple. Christ cleansing of the temple. And you'll notice in Luke 19 in verse 45 that after he drove them out, he said, you have made it a den of thieves. In verse 47, he said, and he taught daily in the temple. And so selfish merchandising of the house of God was cleansed out, and it was replaced with Jesus teaching in the temple. And then in Matthew 21, He drove them out in verse 13. He said, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. The very next verse it says, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. So after the cleansing, this is just another illustration of when God does the cleansing and the purifying, then after that, the word of God was being taught. And the sick and the infirmed were brought into the house of the Lord, and the miracles begin to take place. Amen. Purity comes, or power comes, after the cleansing, after the purifying work of the Spirit of God in our lives. James 4 and 8 is another example of this principle. I'm just giving this to you just to reinforce the importance of this truth. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. What's he talking about? Cleansing yourself. Humbling yourself. Repenting of anything that's not pleasing to the Lord. Humble yourself. Verse 10. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. And here's the promise. And He shall lift you up. Amen. Glory to God. After the cleansing, then the blessing of the Lord. Then the power of God. The demonstration of God's power in your life. That's what He has promised that He would do. In Isaiah chapter 6, you remember the account there of Isaiah and his vision. He saw the Lord high and lifted up. And whenever he saw the Lord, the Bible says that he began to respond to that by saying, woe is me, I'm unclean. I'm undone. I'm not acceptable to the Lord. Verse 5, he said, then said I, woe is me, for I'm unclean, or I'm undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. The cleansing came. Amen. This wonderful vision, this spiritual experience that Isaiah had when he recognized in the presence of the Lord, I'm unclean, I'm unworthy, I'm undone. But then this seraphim flew and took a coal from off of the altar and touched his lips. And from that experience, the Bible says that he was cleansed and declared to be clean. Lo, this has touched my lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Praise God. There's the cleansing. The very next verse, Isaiah 6 and 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. He was unworthy. He was unequipped. He was unacceptable to the Lord. But after the cleansing, then he becomes the prophet to the nations. Then he goes forth with power to speak and to prophesy. And he says, Lord, here I am. Send me. Use me. Amen. Usefulness to the Lord and to the kingdom of God. It always is preceded by purging, cleansing, the working of the Spirit of God, the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So I've given you several scriptures there to kind of reinforce this whole theme of the fact that if you want more of God's blessing and favor in your life, then you allow Him to do a work in your life, to cleanse you, to purge you from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. Now, the things of the flesh are the obvious acts of the flesh, sinful activities. The sins of the spirit are those, you know, attitudes and, you know, those things that are, they may not necessarily be manifested yet in the flesh, But there are things, there are attitudes or thoughts or things that are in your heart and in your spirit. You know, you can do the right thing and have the wrong spirit. It's true. You can be involved in lots of religious activity, but have the wrong motive, the wrong spirit. That's why that when the cleansing comes, we need to have a cleansing of the flesh or our activities that we're doing, the things that we're doing, the places we're going, the type of activities that we involve in, even who our friendships are and companions are. That's all in the flesh. That's all physical. But there also has to be a cleansing of the flesh and the spirit. Those hidden areas of your heart, those motives and those desires of your hearts that may not have manifested yet in your activities or your speech, but they're still there. If you really want a cleansing, ask the Lord, Lord, cleanse me of all the filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, all the things, the seeds of evil doing and those things that the enemy wants to plant in my heart, wrong motives, wrong desires, wrong thoughts. Let me be purged from all of those things. Cleanse yourself from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Amen. I think that a practical illustration of this would be if you knew that you were sick unto death and you wanted someone to come to pray for you, you're not going to look for someone that's involved in all kinds of carnal activity. You want somebody that's serious about God. And they're serious about prayer. And you know, they're not playing any games. If you know I'm sick unto death and I need someone to come and pray for me, you're going to look for a man of God, a woman of God, someone that walks in the fear of the Lord, someone that knows how to get a prayer through. Amen? That's the kind of person that you're going to call upon, those that you would have confidence in their prayers. If you want to be used of the Lord, then allow God to purge you, purify you, set you apart from the world, and to make you, as we read there from the scripture in Timothy, the challenge was, if a man therefore purge himself from these things, he shall be a vessel unto honor. The cleansing comes, then you become a vessel that can be used, sanctified and meet for the master's use. You become useful to God and prepared unto every good work. Amen. The previous verse, in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. And you want to be a vessel of honor before the Lord. And the only way that that takes place is if you allow yourself to be sanctified. Amen. Sanctifying work of the Spirit of God. It's important truth. It's important doctrine that we believe right about purity and about holiness before God. God is looking for a holy people. He's looking for a people who have purged themselves of all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, who have cleansed themselves from all of the, you know, the things of this world, the ways of this world, the thinking of this world, so that you can be that vessel meet for the master's use. Amen. Purity also precedes usefulness in the kingdom. Amen. It precedes power. It precedes you being available and useful to the Lord in the kingdom of God. So what can we do? What must we do? Well, I believe that we can make the steps. We wouldn't be challenged from God's word to cleanse ourselves or to be holy as I am holy. There would not be all these declarations of steps that we need to take if we couldn't do something about it. Decisions that we can make. Amen. To draw nearer to me. The wonderful promise that's just as simple as it can be, but it's so true. If you will draw nigh unto me, I will draw nigh unto you. Amen. God is looking for people, men and women, like you and me, that will say, oh, I want to get closer to God. I want to press in through prayer and maybe through fasting and seeking the Lord with your whole heart. And as you press in to the things, it's not an easy thing to do. It's an ascent. Who shall ascend under the hill of the Lord? It's pushing upward toward the things of the Lord. And as you do that, you will begin to enjoy more of God's power in your life. More of God's presence and power in your life. Many years ago, two preacher friends of mine and I, we felt like the Lord had dealt with us about doing this. I've mentioned this before, but this was a long time ago, 20-some years ago. But at the beginning of the year, we went to a place we knew where we rented a cabin. And we spent that entire week, the first week of January, with nothing but water and our Bibles and, the wilderness. I mean, we were out there. And you talk about a rough week. It was a hard week. It was difficult. The flesh was screaming all week long. And we would get up in the morning and, you know, we were all coffee drinkers and it was freezing cold January and the cabin was cold and we couldn't get warm. If you're fasting, you cannot get warm. And so we were there and so we would get up in the morning and we would heat up our water on the stove and sip on hot water. But we kind of had a schedule through the day. We would spend some time together. We were reading and going through certain passages of Scripture. We all had each one of us had a book that had been a blessing to us. Each one of us had one that we were trading around, and we were reading some in that book, those books, and then we would spend a time in prayer, and then we would go outside into the cold, and we'd go for a walk outside, and then we would come back, and we'd repeat it all. We did that all day long, all week long. And man, it was tough. It was a hard week. But after about the third day, it got a little bit easier. But I do remember this. I mean, the whole week, it was just nothing but a total focus on the Lord, on the things of the Lord. I remember, you know, the Lord, he just brought up so many things to my attention. You don't need this. You don't need that in your life. You don't. And there was this cleansing that was going on in my mind, in my spirit. But I do remember this, and I don't know even know if the church there in Oklahoma, if they would remember it all, but I remember that weekend. As I prepared, I had all that week, I remember those services that weekend after, how wonderful that I felt God's power. I remember the whole day long on that Sunday, I just sensed God's power in such a mighty way in my own heart and even in what was happening in the services that day. It was obvious that a week like that of cleansing and focus on Jesus and on His Word, oh, it made such a difference. It made such a difference. And I just really believe that all of us, if we will make some steps, the Lord can help us to get closer to God. To draw nigh to the Lord, and not you'll reap the benefit of just the closeness with the Lord, but you also will experience God's blessing, His favor, His power in your life, and you need it. And I need it, don't we? We all do. Oh, how we need the power of God present with us in this every time we come together and every day of our lives. Let's pray. Would you stand with me? Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for your word, and I thank you, Lord, that you deal with us, Lord, about areas of our life that are not pleasing to you. And I thank you, Lord, that you've given us, Lord, a pathway whereby we can experience your power in a greater measure. And Lord, we need it and we desire that. So Lord, I just pray for everyone here, every man and woman, Lord, that you would stir up in us a desire, a hunger for the things of God, for a move of God in such a mighty way. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. We are in need of your power. And we know that you have given to us these examples to remind us, Lord, of steps that we can take, Lord, to be cleansed and purged and purified. We know that the pure in heart will see God, will see your hand, will see your mighty power. We'll have a revelation, Lord, of mighty works that you can accomplish in us as we purify ourselves before you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord.